I'm Frank Vaughn. It's October 17th, 2024, and our illustrious Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says that Canada is less safe than ever due to authoritarian sowers of chaos. And I just have to wonder, is he talking about authoritarian sowers of chaos like this, or is he talking about people who would get up on a pulpit, as this Canadian imam does, and says the thing that he says? Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to rock out while I play this clip.
Hellfire will want to destroy the enemies of Allah! Hellfire will want to destroy the sinners, the innovators, the disbelievers! Hellfire will want to swallow them, roast them, toast them, break them, shake them, twist them! Hellfire will want to annihilate them! Because hellfire is a slave of Allah, and it has ghayra! It has this jealousy! How dare you disrespect Allah? How dare you disobey?
Now, of course, my question is a rhetorical device. We know that Justin Trudeau is not talking about these people, the ones that are attacking our universities, the ones that are waving flags that are not of this land and have nothing to do with Canada, the ones that are blocking traffic, the ones who are targeting Jewish businesses and trying to shut them down, the ones who attacked the very prime ministerial motorcade in which he was riding. He's not talking about them because his government, as you see, wants to give them more money. Unlike the Freedom Convoy, which was 100% pure organic Canadiana with Canadian flags as far as the eye can see, which reintroduced public outdoor dancing, which this government had taken away, which played street hockey in front of the Justice Center, which didn't attack a single building, certainly didn't attack the Parliament building, or the Prime Minister. They had their bank accounts seized. They are being dragged through the courts and having their lives destroyed to this day when these people, these Palestinians or these Khalistanis, the ones that take to our streets and actually destroy property, they are rewarded with financial incentive and official endorsement. It is so disgusting. We've got a Prime Minister who's trying to talk about ethics, who's trying to talk about foreign influence in this country, who's trying to use his position to perhaps perjure himself by fingering only conservative politicians without naming them. And the left-wing talking point is, why doesn't Pierre Poilievre get himself his security clearance when that security clearance would deny his ability to exercise speech and an opinion as the leader of the opposition and the only person in a position to interrupt this unending sequence of corruption by the Trudeau-Singh government? This man has been in power for 10 years, enabled by his entire caucus and enabled since 2019 by the NDP exclusively. They have ethics violations, scandals. If you go to Wikipedia, which we all know is in the tank for the left, if you go to Wikipedia and you look up Canadian scandals or scandals in Canadian history, he possesses half the list. He's only been around for 10 years and he's still got a ways to go. These people are narcissistic sociopaths. They lie as they destroy your country, and you better believe that everything that they're doing right now destroys the country. We already have enough unrest in this nation due to foreign causes. Now, I must say, I've taken a lot of flack because I don't come right out and condemn Israel. When was the last time the Jewish diaspora in Canada burned down one of our buildings? When was the last time they targeted traffic for shutdown? When was the last time they engaged in any civil disobedience? It seems to me, speaking of Canada, putting the Middle East off to the side for a moment and the war and everything that's going on here, I'm talking about the effects on my nation, the place that I live. I don't see them destroying my property. I don't see them destroying my nation, but I do see a very destructive force that this government has unleashed into the country. And for that destruction, for their ongoing civil unrest, they are getting rewarded by bringing more of it in and giving it your tax dollars. You never had a say. You never got to express your opinion as to whether or not you wanted your money, and not just your money, your children's money and your grandchildren's money, because they borrow it at interest. This government has increased our national debt in such an enormous way that just a few short years ago, it would have defied imagination, and now they print money every single day. They borrow money in your name, and they give it away. They give it away to Ukraine. They give it away to these people who come in and chant death to Canada and burn our flag. And then he wants to sit before committee, and he wants to pretend that it's the conservatives who jeopardize Canada? This is an inversion of reality, and this is something the left seems to be very good at this time. I was watching the Harris interview with Bret Baier yesterday, and I understand that a lot of people have already offered their opinions on this, and that those opinions are fairly universal. But I got to tell you, in all honesty, I've seen a lot of debates. I've participated in a lot of debates. I've seen a lot of interviews, and I've been in a lot of interviews. I have never seen a drubbing for a candidate quite like that as long as I can remember. She looked unsteady. She lied. But admittedly, she didn't lie with complete ease because it didn't just flow right off her tongue. She looked full of it. She can't even lie good. She couldn't answer a question straight. She had these talking points that she would repeat. She tried to blame Donald Trump for the presidency that she presides over, that she is second in command of. Now look, I'm not stupid. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden aren't running anything right now. There's something else going on in the United States. It's deep, it's dark, it's secret. And for whatever reason, Donald J. Trump poses an existential threat to it. And I got to tell you, even absent, and I'm not going to talk about that interview anymore, I highly recommend it. If you have not watched that 27 minutes, it's going to go by like that. You're going to think it's 30 seconds and you're just going to be wanting more because it is, the Empress has no clothes. It lies bare right there, and the fact that they had to wrap it up and they had to get the old shepherd's crook out and pull her right off the stage because it was so bad. Donald J. Trump's going to win the election. It was already baked in weeks ago. I've been telling you this the entire time. All the fake polling is now adjusting itself to prepare the public for his win, and they're also trying to salvage their credibility because they try to create a narrative. Every election cycle, the media and a lot of the polling houses, not all, Rasmussen's amazing, and there's some others, but Rasmussen is particularly good because they don't just do polling, they do opinion polling, they do incredible crosstabs, and on top of that, they expose the polling industry for the politically biased hack jobs they actually are. Those polling houses that are politically biased hack jobs, they have to align themselves with reality so that they can pretend they have credibility. But for those of us paying attention, and by the gods, there's so few of us that are paying attention. But for those of us who are paying attention, we already know this. We've known this for decades, that most pollsters are not interested in reality. They're interested in concocting narrative. But this narrative has failed spectacularly. So I think DJT, he wins unless they can kill him, and they've been trying their best, or unless they can somehow not certify the result, or unless they can trigger a great big massive war. And that brings me to another worry of mine that I have right now, is that Israel is actually considering and may just go ahead with hitting Iranian nuclear sites and potentially that oil infrastructure. I talked about this a couple weeks ago in a video. I said this was the existential threat. It remains the existential threat. The Chinese and Russians are trying to apply as much pressure as they can to Israel to dissuade them from doing this, because if they do this, it has unpredictable results. We're talking fallout. We're talking radioactivity. We're talking what the Iranians might do in response. I really hope cooler heads prevail, because it looks like they're going to want to do it before the election. And who knows what that does to the United States? Who knows how that destabilizes the world? Will you even get an election? Will that be the pretext to basically suspend the Constitution for the first time in U.S. history? Let's hope cooler heads prevail there. Let's hope that they do something proportional and they don't just go out. It's one of the things I disagree with Trump on. Well, actually, it's funny, because people say that Donald advocated for hitting those Iranian nuclear sites. I think from what I've seen, unless I've missed something, all he said is that now would be the strategically imperative time to do it, because Israel might not get a chance again to do it. He might be correct on that front, but the consequences that would arise from that decision are entirely unpredictable. It's not a road we want to go down, folks. So let's all just bow our heads and pray that we don't go down that road. But back to the point, at risk of belaboring it, Justin Trudeau wants to pretend like he's some bastion. As his poll numbers crater, as the Singh Trudeau government loses all credibility, as the inevitability of a conservative majority takes hold in this country, they want to turn it around on Poilievre and make it look like they are the danger when this government has been selling our nation out more than any other. I was actually listening to one of my debates from the 2019 election and pondering re-releasing this video, and I was listening to what I said, and I very much highlighted how you can string a chain of selling this country out right back to Trudeau Sr. But it's not just him. It's Mulroney. It's Harper. It's Cretchen. It's Martin. The country's been gutted. It's been sold off to those authoritarian threats that Justin Trudeau is talking about. It's not just buying your politicians. If it was just buying politicians, if it was just trying to influence peddle in government, man, that's normal statecraft. But it's not just that. It's selling our gold resources. It's selling off our gold reserves. When I say gold resources, I mean the stuff that's in the ground. The Chinese own a lot of that. The Chinese own a lot of our mineral wealth. The Chinese are actively engaged in Canada in seditious behavior. You want to talk about foreign influence? It's not just your politicians. They fund your universities to the tune of billions of dollars. They create a lot of the content that you consume. The culture is under vast threat, which brings me to another point. Maybe this will be my closing point for today. Canada no longer exports culture, and the West in general has stopped exporting culture. We passed through an age of conflict, which was the period of the First World War and the Second World War. And I don't believe we entered an age of expansion. I believe we entered the age of universal empire. And there were two universal empires in the world. There was the Soviet Empire and its influences, and there was the American Empire, which you could say formed into NATO, but I want to call it the American Universal Empire. So these two empires stood on either side of the world, and they locked heads, and they competed, and the Universal Empire of the United States won and became the ultimate power on planet Earth circa 1990. Probably in the 1980s, 1990, but America was it. And we've gone through that age of Universal Empire, and we're moving back into an age of conflict. And the demography this time around is absolutely horrendous. The population is old, and we've stopped having babies. So it's not just population decline that comes next. It's the decline of the culture. Now, we could mitigate this. There is a new age of expansion presented to us right now, in this moment, this key moment, where we can change trajectory. And it's partly the space age. It's partly what Musk is doing by catching those rockets. I can't emphasize how big that is for humanity and what we can do. It brings the planets in reach. It brings the asteroids in reach. It brings mineral wealth in reach. It brings space manufacturing in reach. There's a lot of cool stuff that we can do while I'm still alive, but also once I'm gone. That's one age of expansion. But the age of innovation, where we can maybe restore people to walking, where we can help technologically people who are sick and unwell to become productive again, where we can use automation to mitigate the demographic decline we're going through. Because I see a lot, again, I don't think a lot of people know how to link all these disparate things together. The decline of demography, the decline of the population, the decline of Western-born peoples who carry in their blood the culture, the decline in that population stock has to be mitigated somehow. I would prefer people started having babies again. I would prefer that society started putting an emphasis on how wonderful family is, because it is. And the only way that you can dispel the myth that having babies and having a family and being monogamous in a partnership and actually focusing on the future and focusing on your family is a bad thing is if they can convince you not to do it. Because once you do it, you understand how big the lie is and how it permeates everything. It's both in your face, like a sledgehammer, but it's also subtle. You're always being encouraged to be selfish. You're always encouraged to be narcissistic. And you're always encouraged to believe that having a child is the worst thing that you could do for yourself. and these are all lies, we can mitigate, not just through immigration, not just through having babies, but some of the labor shortages which we are inevitably going to face, we can mitigate through automation. We're on the cusp of that. And these are just a couple ways, and maybe I should do a separate video on this, but these are just a couple ways that we stand on the cusp of reorganizing Western civilization into a new age of expansion, which will save us for generations. But the moment, the fulcrum of that is right now. We have to make the right choices today. And what Justin Trudeau and his ilk are doing to this country is not only are they failing to export our culture, are they failing to export the idea of a new age of expansion? They're saying that we're a post-national state. They're saying that Canada, by targeting the Freedom Convoy and a million other policies, they're saying that Canada's national identity has no real value, that it has no lasting value. When we say we're a multicultural, diverse society, what we're saying is that we have no core identity and our identity is everything else. We are the they, them of the nation states. And anybody watching this should know that they, them are crazy. We are crazy. It's not just us. The European nations are doing this. And America, even though it's the one that's the most resistant to this urge, the self-destructive urge, is doing it as well. We have got to start exporting culture again. We have got to reorganize in an assertive way and say that Western civilization is the best and will be the best, and this is the new hope for humanity. This is the new age of expansion. Because if we just keep celebrating every other interest group, every other nation's causes, we bring them here and we celebrate them and we fund them. We give them official endorsement, while at the same time we target for destruction everything that is Canada, we fall, and we fall hard. Did you know that I have a website, frankvaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again? And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon. And I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.